this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are on Empowered by the Spirit, high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral. And we have an incredibly special guest, actually two of them. But we have Sister Nancy Usselman, who is a daughter of St. Paul and the director of the Pauline Center for Media Studies in Los Angeles. She is a media literacy education specialist and theologian, a national speaker, blogger, and reviewer of films on bemediamindful.org. Sister Nancy,
hi,
great
Deacon.
To have you here.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
And you have a great book that we're going to get to in a second. But we also have another very special guest back for returned radio show here, and that is Catherine Hughes, Katie Hughes. Welcome back, Katie.
Thank you. Glad to be here again.
Katie is one of our leaders of our ministry, Spirit-Filled Hearts. Well, Sister Nancy, this book I'm holding right now, A Sacred Look, Becoming Cultural Mystics, that sounds exciting. And to be candid, a little scary all at the same time. So let's start with, what is a mystic? It's not me, that's for sure. You know, it's a definition. I'll open it up in the dictionary and it'll say, not Deacon Steve, you know, is a mystic. But maybe I am. Who knows?
Well, a mystic in the traditional sense of the word and in the theological sense of the word is someone who comes to an experience of God, but that is a transformative experience, that it changes them and it changes all those that they come in contact with. And so any of us can be mystics. Really, Karl Rahner, the great theologian, said that we are to be Christians are to be mystics of tomorrow or nothing at all. So we're all called to be mystics.
My brothers and sisters, you're on Empowered by the Spirit. We're with Sister Nancy Usselman, and we're focusing on her new book, A Sacred Look, Becoming Cultural Mystics. You used a word that I absolutely love, and that is being transformed, mm-hmm. a metanoia.
Mm-hmm.
Katie, I know with Spirit-Filled Hearts, that's a big part of what we do, is we focus on how can we let Jesus into our heart to be transformed. And as we've gone past Pentecost now, when this show airs, it is about letting the Holy Spirit transform us.
It is, and it's exciting to have you here, Sister, because media is very important to us in our ministry, and how can we help transform lives? How can we help assist people have a experience with God where they are transformed and where they go out and they are sent out to bring people to know Jesus and be transformed themselves?
I'm on Sister committee in the Diocese of Orange, a steering committee talking about evangelization and so forth. And we all know the statistics and where mm-hmm. we are right now. But for me, it really comes down to one thing. How can we have this new Pentecost, to use that mm-hmm. term, mm-hmm. but how can we have that same kind of experience that had the apostles and the disciples of Jesus all of a sudden burst those doors open, be not afraid, hit the streets, and be on fire with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And is that a part of what mysticism is about, too?
It absolutely is. I mean, when we have a deep relationship with the Lord, we cannot not but share that with others. And I think we, as many people, as artists, especially artists of the culture, can do that through their creativity and their gifts. Because the media that are before us are really gifts of God, you know, film, television, radio, popular music, all of this, and social media, it's all our opportunities to be able to share those gifts, the gifts that God has given us, and be able to tell creative stories.
My brothers and sisters, as you know, on Empowered by the Spirit, we love the Word of God. Jesus is the Word made flesh. Take a look at Jeremiah 20 if you're not driving and have something by you, a Bible or a smartphone. Take a look at Jeremiah 27, where Jeremiah says, "You seduce me, Lord. I let myself be seduced. You were too strong for me, and you prevailed." And later it says, "I had a fire burning in my heart in prison, in my lungs and I grow weary holding it back. That's what, for me, that's what it's all about. And, you know, and I often challenge audiences and I ask them, I said, do you feel like there's a fire burning inside you where you have to share your faith? You have to share the love of Jesus. You have to do something to be Christ in action. And isn't that what we need today within the Catholic Church or any Christian church, certainly?
Well, absolutely. We need Christians who are on fire for their faith. And I think that's my whole point, is saying to be a mystic means that, that deep spirituality. But it's a way of looking, and that's when I start with the book. It's how to take a sacred look at the popular culture that's around us. Because we can't avoid all the media and the culture that's there, but we can enter into it to be able to transform it from within. But we have to understand it, and we have to look at it, and we can see God's grace at work even in the midst of what it's communicating, and bring out those elements of really what is humanity really yearning for? Connection and communion, intimacy, purpose and meaning in life. They're present there within the artifacts of the popular culture.
Katie, one of the verses in John 15, when he goes into the vine and the branches, you know, I am the vine, you are the branches, and without me you can do nothing. And then later on in chapter 15 of the Gospel of John, he says, abide in me as I abide in you. In order to really be connected to that vine, in order to have Jesus within our hearts, what must we do?
Well, each individual's at a different point in how they receive God's love or his word. And if we're talking about media, that's probably 90% of the way that people receive information about God. Maybe they don't have the experience, but the information goes into their mind, and we pray that it goes to the heart as far as knowing God better. And so I think that's the key, is an outlet, information for people in different ways, because everyone learns differently how to connect with Christ in the mind and let that go to the heart.
It is, and we talk, our ministry called Spirit-Filled Hearts, mm-hmm. that the greatest journey is 18 inches from the head to the heart.
Yes.
And we have to, my brothers and sisters, make that journey in the heart. You know, Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee, and he says three words, come, follow me. Are we truly following Jesus? You know, the thing, I get so excited when I'm around you, Sister Nancy, and around your sisters, because they're so on fire, they're so alive with Jesus. And that's what Jesus told us in John 10:10. I've come to give you life and life abundantly. Tell us more about your order, and it's a unique order, and we're very big on this show about vocations, mm-hmm. and there are people listening right now. I know we're on about 50 stations, and I know that there are women out there listening, and men who mm-hmm. are interested in vocations, but let's say women right now, who are really kind of getting that nudge. Mm-hmm. So tell us about the nudge, and tell us about your order, and why should they investigate being part of your organization?
Sure, Deacon. And the Daughters of St. Paul were founded about a little more than 100 years ago in northern Italy by a priest named Blessed James Alberioni. So he's blessed in the church. And what he had is this vision that all media, all areas of media can be used for the good of the gospel. And so it was all about bringing that message and being a good presence, a presence of hope and joy in the world, where sometimes there is the opposite present because of the media. And so he always wanted to bring that good vision to it. And so as Daughters of St. Paul, that's what we do. We take on every form of media that there is to be able to bring a message of hope to people who are so desperate, looking for meaning and purpose in life. And as Daughters of St. Paul, our hashtag is Media Nuns. So if you check up on social media, you'll see everything that we do. And we use all areas, and social media really is an important part of that, because many young people are there. That's where they're located. That's where they spend their time. And we need to reach them where they're at. So that's really a core to our spirituality and our mission, is to connect with people where they are today.
My brothers and sisters, we are on Empowered by the Spirit with the Pauline sister, Nancy Usselman. We're talking about her new book, A Sacred Look, Becoming Cultural Mystics. As we take a look at Romans 15, verse 11, it says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." You talked about, sister, being that instrument of hope through media. That is so critical, because today, everywhere you look, there's almost despair and this feeling of hopelessness. Mm-hmm. How can you give me some examples of how you work with media and through media to give hope?
Well, so many times when we're on social media and connecting with people that way, just by some things that we post, and we post a lot from scripture and just hopeful messages, people respond with saying something like, "I really needed that today." Or, you know, because we're on Snapchat and Twitter and Instagram, and you never know who you're really connecting with around the world, literally around the world. And that's so important. And as well as when, you know, other avenues is when we have our book and media centers. People just walk in off the streets. And in Los Angeles, because we're close to Hollywood, there's many young adults who are searching, and they're people who work in the industry, but they're searching for something, deep spirituality, and they don't know where to go. So they find us somehow. And we're able to lead them into a deeper relationship. We say, you know, we show them the chapel. We talk to them about their faith. And the great news is that one young woman just came into the faith this last Easter because of coming into our book center to buy a Bible. And she was Muslim and now became Catholic.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And for those women out there that may be considering religious life and perhaps looking at your order, what would you say to them?
I'd say, go search out what is deepest desire in your heart, because many religious orders have different ways that they live Christ and communicate Christ. Research them. Look at them. Go in and ask questions. Go and Google them and ask them to come and visit. And that's what we say to people. Come visit us in our book center in LA or anywhere else around the country. Because that's the where you'll know. You'll connect with us. You'll know in your heart if there's something that comes alive in you. And that's important, to be able to know where your vocation is. You have to find a sense of peace and a sense of joy.
Amen. Amen. My brothers and sisters, remember John 15:16. It is not you who called me, but I who called you and appointed you to bear fruit, fruit that will remain, so that whatever I ask the Father, he may give you. You are being called right now into a deeper life of holiness. You are being called right now by Jesus to give your heart, your soul, your mind, everything to him. Most of us think, oh, I can't do that. You know, I can't give this up, or I'm going to be called weird, or I'll lose my friends. My brothers and sisters, you will get everything that you need according to God's glorious riches. Glory and riches as seen in Philippians 4:19. You will receive his blessings. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We'll be right back to talk more about a sacred look becoming a cultural mystic. You are on Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with his love and shower us with his grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange.
This is John Romero, music director at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. We are 1 year away from the dedication of our beautiful cathedral, and we have some spectacular concerts available to you. Check them all out at ChristCathedralMusic.org or on our Facebook page, Christ Cathedral Music. We'd love to see you here.
Christ Cathedral Concerts, great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.
We're back on Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are with Sister Nancy Usselman, a Pauline sister, and Katie Hughes, and we're talking about Sister's new book, A Sacred Look, Becoming Cultural Mystics. And how many books have you written, Sister?
This is the first.
The first? You know, I was going to say, this is the best book you've ever written. No, that's awesome.
It's taken a few years to get to this.
Yeah.
To get it
so
out.
So we were talking earlier about what is a mystic and so forth. And I would say, I'd just summarize it by saying it's someone who loves God and is on fire with the Lord. But how did this idea of cultural mysticism come about?
Well, it's something I've been thinking out for years now, but because I also teach on media literacy and media education, I wanted to find what is that theological foundation that connects our faith life with our media experience. So it's really that root connection. And what is it? But it's to be deeply spiritual and deeply connected with God in order to enter into the culture and look at it with eyes of faith, and not to, you know, say everything is bad or, you know, that's not good, that's not good. There will be elements of the culture that are not great, that are not beautiful. But what is it truly saying? Like in any popular film, let's look at the deeper meaning of the story. What is it saying about the human person and the human dignity and the desire for that something more, which is so prevalent there in the culture? They just don't know where that something more really is. We know as mystics, as people of faith, that that something more is God.
Amen. And God can be found everywhere,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And we just, you know, it's interesting, my brothers and sisters, if you take a look at 2 Corinthians 3:16, it says that we have a veil over our eyes until we turn to the Lord. And then the Lord will remove that veil and give us this freedom to see,
yes.
see, freedom to understand how much we're loved.
Exactly.
And we can see that throughout the culture. And that's part of the reason I think you have such an interest in popular culture, because you can find Jesus almost anywhere.
Yes, absolutely. And ever since I became a daughter of St. Paul, even before I became a sister, my desire, I loved movies, music, and books. So, you know, it kind of became a perfect fit that I entered the Daughters of St. Paul and worked in where our mission is fully in media. And I find that there is so much more in the culture than what can be. And like I said, people are yearning and they're striving. They're looking for something. And I think we have the answer as Catholics. We have the answer. We have the sacraments. We have an incarnational theology that connects us so deeply with the reality of human living now. You know, Jesus, who is the perfect human being, shows us what it means to be truly human. He's that example, and we need to help people turn to him to look for how to deal with the struggles and difficulties of life.
It's interesting, as we look at Scripture, my brothers and sisters, we look at Scripture saying that it is through Jesus that we have the joy. It is through Jesus that we have peace that passes all understanding. It is Jesus who is the God of love that we experience love. It is through the fruit of the Holy Spirit that we have love and joy and peace and patience and all of this. But it all comes down to being connected to Jesus. Mm. And Katie, it's so important that people, again, go out of their way through prayer and through the sacraments, through Mass, through reconciliation, to want to constantly be connected to God.
Yes, and I think through different avenues of media can draw people into the sacraments, into walking their faith out. They've received information, but walking it's a whole nother story, and they need the food for that. Even the assistance of Mass times, going on the internet and finding a parish in their area for confession, whatever it may be, there's different things that can link people to their faith. Sometimes it's about through social media, a person can find a priest who they connect with, who gets them, who they can have as a spiritual director or go for confession, because it's not always easy when you have a grave sin on your heart and you want to trust someone. And media does that, as well as, you know, preparation for confession. What is the Mass? There's some great movies out there that talk about, I love the greatest miracle ever. I think that's what it's called, and it's in Spanish and English. Mm-hmm. And that elevated me. The talks by Scott Hahn and listening to that on YouTube, that brought me into the Mass and that understanding, and like made me like connect, like, oh, I'm not here just to sit back and watch. But through that media, I realized, you know, they're able to show the heavenly banquet. They're able to show what Mass really is, what's going on during confession. All of these things are tools to help us, because they have to penetrate through all the other distractions that the enemy is putting in our path. And so God's good news can come through, and media just happens to be it right now in this day and age.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And sister, again, we're so blessed to have you on the show. And if you were like me, my first book, 365 Days of Praise, found on Amazon, a daily meditational, it took 10 years to write it. How about you? How long did it take for you to think about this, pray about it, and actually do it?
Well, it actually started coming about when I was doing my graduate studies in theology. So it took about 5-6 years for it to really develop. But, you know, it's been coming 5-7 years, maybe more like 7. And it kind of is a compilation of reflections and thoughts and things I've been working on actually for over a decade, but it's kind of started coming together in the last few years.
Well, that's awesome. And this is, we highly recommend it. A Sacred Look, Becoming Cultural Mystics. It's by Cascade Books. And how can someone get this book?
Well, it's available at any Pauline Book and Media Center across the country.
How many are there?
There are 12 of our book centers across the country, all different major cities.
Awesome.
If you're in the L.A. area, it is at 3908 Sepulveda Boulevard in Culver City. That's where opportunity to get that. Right now it's on Whiff and Stock Publishing. They're whiffandstock.com. They're the publisher. So it's WIPF and Stock, STOCK.com. That's their website. So it's available there. The Kindle version is on Amazon right now. And soon the actual book will be on Amazon too. It just takes a while.
Can they get it off your website?
That will be in shortly, too.
Coming attraction. Awesome.
It literally just came off the press.
Awesome.
Wow.
So,
thank you.
Okay, our listeners out there are hanging on every word. There's no doubt about it. Praise the Lord. And they've just whispered a question in my ear. How do I become a cultural mystic?
So much of what's in the popular culture, you know, look at film and television, and you can see that there are symbols. And our cultural sacramental imagination that we have as Catholics can notice what those symbols and signs mean and represent, because that's where we're tuned to that is, with the sacramental perspective. And so we can look a little deeper into maybe what's being spoken about or shown. You know, sometimes when there's like the symbol of water, what does it mean in a film? Can it mean like renewal, new life? You know, similar to a baptismal understanding. It gives us a deeper sense then of what is being communicated in the film or in the television show. And films like A Quiet Place, you know, a beautiful depth, like it's talking about the symbol of quietness and peace. Even though it's like a little semi-horror film, it's actually looking at something about reflection and how we find presence in the silence. Also, like Ready Player One, you know, a great movie that's out there. Everyone's talking about it because it's about the virtual world. But it's very profound because Steven Spielberg even says that it's not where we only find enjoyment in the virtual world, but we cannot eliminate the one-on-one relationships in the real world. And that's really important, especially for young people today, to see that and understand that.
Amen. And so young people certainly would benefit from reading this book. And who would benefit?
Well, anybody who is interested
anyone
in any
breathing?
Part of popular culture
anyone
and
anyone
theology.
Has a heartbeat and a pulse.
Exactly. Anybody who has that one, you know, an interest in popular culture and in theology, it's really melding those two disciplines.
Awesome. Awesome. And what do you hope people will come away with after reading the book?
Well, I hope they fall in love with the Lord.
Amen.
Because that's
Amen.
What it's all about, right?
Hallelujah.
Amen. You know,
Amen.
That's what our theology, our study of theology is to know God, to study, to know, have a deeper understanding of God in our lives. And And that's what this book does. It brings it down to our everyday experience, not only when we're in prayer or when we're at Mass, but it's in every media experience we have. Even in seeing a billboard or reading a, you know, message, news on the internet, you know, somehow, how can we enter into it into a deeper way so as to pray even for all those who are in the media, those who are the producers of media, those who create media, that they may really bring forth the truth, beauty, and goodness of God.
And there's actually a lot more of that now, right? A lot more films than ever before, and a lot more positive, encouraging, growth-oriented movies and different things within the media. Tell us about that. Tell us what you feel and see.
Well, I do see that there is definitely growth in an understanding of religion in film now, especially in Hollywood. I think they're seeing that there is a need for faith-based films. You know, and some of them do it well, and some of them, you know, kind of too forcefully push the message. Others do it more symbolically, and in some ways, because it's storytelling. Storytelling is to use symbols and visuals as opposed to words alone. It has that ability to reach deeper into the soul, into our feelings and emotions. And when they do that with a really good story, with a really profound story about what it means to be human, it touches so many people in a very profound way. And I there are so many movies out there, I couldn't even tell you one that I like the most, but there's so much that has come out that I think that is trying to find what is that struggle in humanity.
Since you are a film critic, correct?
Yes.
Tell us about the movie. I can't remember quite the name, The Apostle Paul.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, you know, I'm being a Pauline sister.
I came to it right away, didn't
actually,
I?
Actually, they came to us. You know, the publicist and the, you know, producers came to us. We met them. We talked with them. They're really wonderful, wonderful Catholic guys who wrote the script and who produced and directed it. But, and Sony Affirm Films took it on, you know, as a distributor. But they are really, it's a very Catholic perspective of Paul. And I mean it by this. They got to the depth of Paul's heart and his own struggle with his own humanity. It's really, it's very profound and very deep. And I, as a Pauline sister, I'm critical of Paul films and how they portray him. But I really liked it a lot because it was doing that. And it showed a Paul who, where his letters didn't come out of nowhere. They came out of struggle. They came out of his journey in his own faith and his own relationship with Christ. And I think it did that in the film. So I loved it, you know, and we actually created a cinema novena online that goes along with the film. People could still get it access on our website, but it helps people to pray using clips of the film that Sony allowed us to put up. But yeah, clips of the film and reflections with the scriptures, with Paul's letters and prayer in relationship with Paul.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back to talk more about media and understanding how Jesus can really come to us through this important part of life. We'll be right back.
Now on DVD and digital download, a story about finding truth, meaning, and beauty in the last place they expected.
I can't become Catholic. What, am I insane? There's no way.
A film to encourage your faith and help you reach out to others.
I thought, this is just nonsense. These people are crazy. Atheism is much more rational.
Convinced, featuring over 20 of today's most interesting and articulate Catholic voices, including Jennifer Fulweiler, Scott Hahn, Abby Johnson, and Patrick Madrid. Get convinced now at convincedmovie.com.
The passing of a loved one is a difficult and often sorrowful step in life's journey. The helpful and supportive staff at the Cathedral Memorial Garden Cemetery, located on the 34-acre iconic Christ Cathedral campus in the center of Orange County, are here to assist you and your family through this transition. The more than 1 acre Cathedral Memorial Gardens is unique in Orange County, offering a central location, serene garden-like grounds, majestic fountains, and a dramatic statuary, all set within the soaring architectural gems grounds of the Christ Cathedral campus. Cathedral Memorial Gardens now has beautiful glass front niches. Single, companion, and family four spaces are now available with interior LED lighting with decorative trim that will display your loved one's urn with dignity forever. For more information, please visit memorialgardens.christcathedralcalifornia.org or contact 714-489-6102, 714-489-6102.
We're back on Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco with Katie Hughes and Sister Nancy Usselman. We're talking about the movie Paul the Apostle of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And Katie, you had some thoughts on the break about what you liked about this movie, because we do recommend it, and it's something that I think builds up your faith and really lets you better understand the struggles that both Paul and Luke and the early community went through. But what'd you like about it, Katie?
Recently, I've really gotten into watching films about the apostles and documentaries. And, you know, reading the Bible, you get messages, but what's going on behind the scenes, what they're going through, that's what Paul the Apostle did. I love seeing the love between Paul and Luke, and also the love that the community outside of Rome had for him. And knowing that they were praying for him, knowing that they loved him, and that Paul was a role model for them because they were struggling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, seeing Christians as human Roman lanterns, it was just horrific to think of that. And to see your friend go up like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you need to have, first you have Christ, but you need to have apostles. You need to have witnesses to say, this is a period of time to bring glory to God. And it's a preparation. And so it just touched me so much, that movie, and any movie that has to do with living out the faith and how these saints bring us into a closer relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. I love it when, Paul doesn't say this in the movie, but what I think it comes out to say, what is the heart of his whole spirituality, the heart of his letters is in Galatians 2:20 when he says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that movie was promoting that and showing that and explaining that, how he came to that point in his life when he could actually say, it is Christ in me. When you look at me, you see Christ. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's that example for us of how he did that. Mm-hmm. And we too can then be the image of Christ for others. And as Pauline sisters, that's like the core of our spirituality is what Paul says right there.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, there's so many great quotes and verses and scripture that Paul writes about and mentions. You know, one of my favorites is actually in Acts 20:25. When he said, no one can put anyone's blood at my doorstep because I never shrank from proclaiming Christ crucified to everyone. And he's saying, hey, you know what? As he told Timothy and preach the gospel, whether it be convenient or inconvenient. Right. And I think my brothers and sisters, as you listen to this, the question is, how are you living out your faith? How are you living out your baptism to be priest, prophet, and king? The other thing I think is so important that I want to touch on in Paul's letter to the Philippians, where he says, and this is chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, is any excellence, and if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, then the God of peace will be with you. It's controlling, and we see this also in 2 Corinthians 10:5, where it says we have to take obedience every thought. So it's controlling our thoughts. And where I'm going with this is we have to be really careful what we look at or what we listen to in media. Your thoughts on that?
Of course. And what we teach and what I teach from our Pauline Center for Media Studies is how to become media mindful and give people the tools to be really conscious and critical thinkers of a media culture. Because, yes, not everything is good for us to see and experience and absorb, you know. What we want to be is to be engaged, but critically and with a certain mindfulness, realizing that we are consciously watching this film and seeing something, trying to look deeper into it. It's not just to absorb all the ideologies of the culture, you know. No, we have to be critical thinkers. And that's really important in media mindfulness, in media literacy, especially to teaching youth how to do that, and especially in social media, also how to be temperate in our understanding and our use of our media.
I'm on the board of Loyola Institute of Spirituality, and so I have, and went to Loyola, now Loyola Marymount. So I have that Jesuit training in me of consolation or desolation, you know, either move towards God or away from God. And really to guard your mind, you know, that whole critical thinking and examination of conscience. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know. I find myself, and I still have to watch it, you know, as I flip on Netflix or whatever, that there are things that either come on the regular media or TV or on Netflix or other types of things out there, that all of a sudden things pop up and go, wait a minute, this is not bringing me closer to Christ.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, so I think we have to know kind of ahead of time also what we're watching. Is that true?
Well, you can. You do your research, definitely. You know, look into what it's saying. You know, what is it really talking about? Do some, look at the reviews, look at what it's about. And, you know, make your decisions based on that. You know, look at some people who do really good reviews. The way we do reviews from our, you know, Media Study Center, it's not to say to people, you know, watch this or don't watch this. Every person has to make that decision for themselves. However, what we will do is we'll point out, well, you know, it has this redeeming quality, or it says this about the gift of the human person in this way, or it has something very deep and profound, or it doesn't. We will say it. This flopped. It doesn't have anything worth watching. You know, we'll say it. But each person has to make that decision by their own research.
Do you ever have a footnote in your commentaries on films, and the footnote says something like, and you can attend reconciliation immediately afterwards?
I'll talk about sacraments within my thing, but
right.
Not directly.
You know, I have to do a shout out for a film series that's, I think, on Amazon because Katie found it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm going to say?
Yeah.
What am I going to say?
AD.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And yeah,
we love AD.
Yes.
We love AD. You know, I think, I mean, not perfect. Nothing's perfect, but it's so real.
Yes.
About what happened, right, with Pentecost.
Yes.
And then right afterwards. And your thoughts on that?
Well, they're beautiful interpretations, I think, of what happened in the early church. You know, we have the scriptures, but it's certain words, and we have to fill in with visuals, and that's the art. That's the art of filmmaking. You got to fill in the story. And they were trying desperately, you know, they were trying to do that. And we don't really know all the details. So you be creative. And that's what filmmaking does. And I think they, in AD, they did do that with some creative, you know, fill ins of how to bring the story kind of to fill it in for us, to bring, give us a bigger perspective. And, visuals can do that for us. In our own imagination.
And media makes things come alive for
mm-hmm.
us and makes it a lot more real, you know, and that's what makes it so, so, so important. You know, there's another aspect of Paul that I want to bring up, and this is for me and for all of our listening audience and the humanity that we all are. And I just want to get your thoughts on this. And this is in Romans, for I do not understand what I do not do what I want, but I do what I hate. And if I do what I do not want, I conclude that the law is good. So now it no longer I who do it, but sin who dwells in me. And I know that good does not dwell in me, that is, in my flesh. The willing is ready at hand, but doing the good is not. So many of us get discouraged because, you know, we fight the world, we fight the flesh. You know, Paul's being so real here.
Mm-hmm.
And here Paul with this metanoia, this great change, this great transformation. And he still writes about this. And of course, we have to look at chapter 8, then that follows, that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And God's love and all things work for good when you love God, and his love is always there. But we're in this battle, you know, and your thoughts about that, because there's this realness, this humanness about Paul mm-hmm. that I can relate to, and I think so many of our listeners can relate to.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think in Paul's time, you know, he had to struggle against the culture, the pagan culture of his time, you know, preaching to the Greeks who you know, were like, he sees the altar to the unknown God in, there in Athens and says, well, let me tell you about this unknown God, you know, who you have all these other altars, but let me tell you about this one you don't know about. He tells them, and he ends up with the resurrection of the dead. Jesus comes back to life. And they all said, well, we're going to hear about this some other time. This is not what we can handle. I think all of us as evangelizers are going to come across, are going to come against the culture. It's countercultural. We are countercultural if we're faith believers, if we're believing in Christ, if we're true to our faith, we will be countercultural because, yes, granted, in the popular culture, it's pretty secular. It's pretty atheistic. Yes, there's not a whole lot that is promoting faith, but yet you see that there are elements there. And I think that's our opportunity to look at that altar for the unknown God that's in the popular culture and say, hey, wait. We know who that is. Let me tell you about it. But to start there, where people are at, they may not know God, but we can have that opportunity of a conversation.
I think what's so important is because so many people feel like, oh, I'm not holy enough. I'll never be holy. You know, I've did these horrible things, right? Mm-hmm. And some of our listeners right now have had abortions, divorces. They've done things that, you know, had affairs. They've done pornography is rampant. I mean, they've done things that they're ashamed of, mm-hmm. you know, and they feel like, well, there's no place for me. And I guess the message that I read with Paul there, too, is the fact that, as he said, I'm the worst sinner. I mean,
exactly.
he killed my namesake, right?
Exactly.
Stephen, right?
Right.
And the reality is, and this is the message that's so critical to our listening audience, Jesus is calling to you and saying, come to me. He's not saying you're not worthy. He's saying my death and resurrection made you worthy. And I loved you. I love you unconditionally. Your thoughts on that?
Well, first of all, we are all sinners. Every one of us is a sinner. And no one could say about anyone else that, oh, I'm not as bad as you or you're not as good as me and blah, 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 blah. No, we're all sinners. We all need Christ. Grace and redemption. So I think that's what Paul says, you know, and that's when he says, I'm the greatest sinner. It's because, yeah, he recognizes all of us have that sin that lives within us, that original sin. And we're constantly struggling against that to not live only by our impulses and our passions, but to choose purposely and consciously choose the good in our everyday lives. And that's hard in our everyday experiences with people, in our relationships, in our media. It's hard. But Paul says God gives us the grace to choose the good, to be more conscious, to be more aware of who we are and whose we are in Christ.
And that's what's so important to understand. We have this grace that we don't deserve, this favor that we don't deserve, but God loves us, that in spite of our sin, he gives it to us. My brothers and sisters, you have been chosen to be sons and daughters, adopted sons and daughters of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you say yes to him, you say yes to his love, yes to his grace, yes to his healing, yes to saying, I want to be with you forever. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back to talk more about a sacred look becoming cultural mystics.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange.
This is John Romero, the music director of Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove. And this August 7th, we have a spectacular repeat performance of the Libera Boy Choir from London. And this boy choir, ages 7 through 16, is like no other you've ever heard. Last year's performance was completely sold out. Get your tickets early.
Christ Cathedral Concerts. Great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.
It's Dick and Steve Greco. We are back here high atop the Tower of Hope in beautiful Christ Cathedral. Thank you for joining us on Empowered by the Spirit. One of my favorite sisters, and I have to say that all the Pauline sisters are just awesome, but one of our all-time favorites is Sister Nancy Usselman, who wrote a book, A Sacred Look, Becoming Cultural Mystics, and we're going to get into that even in greater detail. But before we do that, before the break, we were talking about various forms of media and the impact in our culture today and so forth. And you had mentioned about young adults and the really powerful part of social media, let's say, with young adults. And Katie Hughes is with us, who is one of our leaders on Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. And Katie, you just had an interesting experience via social media. And tell us about it. And what does that mean as it relates to our audience and really how we should look at social media?
Well, before I share this story, I was also thinking about, you know, we use social media and a lot of people use it to catch up with friends and family. It starts to also become, it can become negative as far as like, you know, this is their life, my life's like this. You know, you start like wonder, what am I doing wrong? They look so happy, they're on that trip, they're doing this, they're doing that. And then you get kind of lost in that. And so recently what I've kind of gone through is I have friends and family, but I also, a lot of it that I'm connected with is like prayer groups and chats and young adults, different groups. And with young adults especially, they're reaching out, one, for attention. They're reaching out for recognition sometimes, but they're also reaching out for a connection of something. Who can relate to me? This is what's going on with me. And so I'm part of a prayer chat on Facebook, a group, and I don't like go on to it very often, but I get notifications. So I'm just scrolling through and there's this kid and he's a young adult and he just reaches out and he says, you know, I'm really hurting. He's like, I have all these suicidal thoughts and my life is horrible. And I, you know, I hate who I am. I'm treated this way. And, you know, I don't feel any value in myself is basically what he was sharing. And so everybody, you know, is responding and, you know, loving words of encouragement. And I really saw the power and I shared something too. And I didn't realize he was in another country, but I said, hey, you can come to our prayer meeting. We can pray with you. And he responded by a messenger and, you know, he said, thank you so much for the prayers. And then, so he was kind of like participating in the prayer and responding. And then he went away and he went dark. And what was interesting to me was all the people in that prayer community were reaching out. Has anyone heard from this person? Because we're concerned, you know, we haven't heard from him. And he reached out to a few people. I was one of them. And through many people encouraging him, he finally came back and he said, you know, I had a really dark, dark day. And, I think the Lord's grace of the prayers of all those involved, though they didn't even know this young man, but they know hurt too. And so I think all those prayers contributed to saving of his life because, mm-hmm. Oh, God does care about me, you know, someone in another country. And I know he was reaching out for that. And I know that it was just a powerful realization how powerful social media is for the good and how also it's for the bad. But when you do see someone reaching out, throwing something out there that everyone's watching, the, you know, bad behavior or whatever, pray for that person and connect with them because they're reaching out. They don't know it necessarily.
It's true.
Yeah.
In terms of social media, sister, and that's a great story, Katie. You know, there's so much on social media, but we can be that instrument of Christ, that instrument of light, to be encouraging, mm-hmm. to have prayers on social media. We can do all kinds of things. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I talk a lot to teens and young adults on social media, about social media. And I talk about it in a sense of virtues and a virtue ethics within a social media world. And really, it's about a sense of consciousness of what we're doing, purposefulness, what we post, what we tweet, what we snap, whatever it is. It's purposeful and not as a reaction or a response or impulsive, because so many times that can be the negative. I'm retweeting something that somebody wrote. Well, I didn't even check to see if it was true, you know, or I'm sending this tweet that's kind of nasty about someone else. You know, well, do I realize it's going out to the whole world, you know, and it could be affecting this person's lives. It's about being conscious. And you talked about the examination of conscience before, Deacon. I actually bring that up a lot with teens and young adults and help them and give them a card on the examination of conscience for them to take away and think about and reflect on, because that's what helps us to be more mindful of our social media use. And what's the purpose of our social media? To connect with people? Yes, that's a great gift. But what else is it doing? Is it taking me away from my in face-to-face interactions with others? Is it taking me away from a time of reflection and prayer or whatever, anything from my work? And I think it helps them to be more reflective. And that's really important in social media.
Amen.
And one of the things that's so critical is you talked about relationship. You know, it starts with a relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But it then goes into relationship with loving our neighbor, loving people, and not just doing it through social media, but through one-on-one interactions,
mm-hmm.
right?
Oh, yes.
I guess we're old school in that way, right? We actually want to talk to people and not just tweet or not just do, you know, whatever it might be. Go ahead.
Can I make a comment
Please.
About that? You know, yeah. there was this great film that came out. It was shown only one night. It was called The Dating Project. And I know the producers, and we worked with them a little bit. But it was such a profound film because it shows different young adults from, you know, college age until like the 40s. And the whole issue of dating in our culture, in the hookup culture today. And Dr. Carrie Cronin from Boston College, she gave this project to her students to say, well, I want them to go on a traditional date, because she found out about this hookup culture and said, you know, what's real dating today? And they didn't know. They didn't know how to ask somebody in person, face to face, to go on a date. It's easier to hook up and have sex in the dark, and, you know, with somebody they don't know and they'll never see again, than to actually go on a date face to face with somebody. So she has them do this project, and this film kind of brings this out and helps them to look at themselves and to say, well, that's true. We're not really interacting with each other. And it's such a profound, and I think, a culturally changing film, because it can have a great impact upon young adults today.
And that's wonderful. And is it out again, or is it?
It will be out. Well, I think it will be out in DVD soon and streaming online. So hopefully in the next month.
What's so important, sister, is for us to make a decision to have relationships,
mm-hmm.
positive relationships, relationships based on Jesus. And in order to do that, we have to really understand the power of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to hear from you talking about that.
Well, like any relationship, we need to spend time with somebody. And if we want to have a relationship with God, with the Lord, we need to spend time doing that. And our time for doing that is prayer. You know, whatever type of prayer that you feel comfortable doing, you know, if it's praying with the scriptures, Alexio Divina, and meditating on that, or simply sitting in a quiet space, telling God everything that's on your mind and heart, all your hopes and dreams and desires and your struggles and your anger and your frustrations, everything. All of that is prayer. And that is so important to be able to share with the Lord, but also to listen. Because the other part of prayer is for us to be quiet and hear where the Lord is leading us and guiding us and directing us in our everyday circumstances of life.
So my next question for you, sister, is how do we connect media into prayer? How can media lead us into prayer?
Well, that's a great question, because we actually teach like Cinema Divina, which is kind of like Alexia Divina with scripture.
I'm a straight man. Right,
we watch film
right.
with the scripture and help people reflect on it. Secular film, not only religious films, it's secular films. And we reflect on it together and do it as a group, Cinema Divina. So we do that from our centers, but we also have some guides, movie guides online that people can download and be able to use that in their own groups, maybe their own prayer groups. But as Pauline sisters, we pray with the media, we pray for the media, and we pray for all those who receive the messages from the media, but also those who produce it. So it's very much part of our whole spirituality and our sense of prayer. Every day, in fact, we pray for those in media.
And one of the prayers I often do is, Lord, open up their eyes to see what it is you want them to see, their ears to hear what you want them to hear, their heart to receive your love, and so forth. And that's so important. And you know, that's prayer for ourselves as we enter into media, as we see a film or whatever it might be, a video, is say, Lord, what do you want me to retain out of this? You know, what is it that I'm supposed to learn from this? How can I apply this to my life?
Absolutely. That's exactly what we do in the Cinema Divina format.
Am I on the way for an A?
You got it.
You know, I'm really competitive, so I'm looking for an A in your class. Okay. I'm going to audit it.
That's exactly what we do, is helping the people to look deeper. What did the Spirit say to me through the film or through this television show? What is it speaking to me about my own life, but also about my relationships and my relationships with other people in my life?
And there's no coincidences. There's a reason you're seeing that video, that film, or whatever it is God wants to show you something, and it's important to open up our heart to receive it. So, A Sacred Look, Becoming Cultural Mystics. What are people getting out of this to apply to their life?
Well, my hope is that they bridge that gap between the faith and the media culture, that within themselves, they find that there is that something more, that they are desiring, that existential desire for the supernatural. It's in every human being's heart, but it's also there in the stories of the culture, which is in the popular culture. And I hope that then we can pray that we make this connection for ourselves, but also within our own prayer life with the Lord, that our faith life isn't separate from our everyday experience.
Amen.
And our media experience. It has to be integrated. So it's all about an integral, transformative experience and relationship.
Amen.
With the media and our faith.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Katie, any final word that you have?
You know, I was just reflecting on you're talking about the quiet time. And here's a social media thing. So I was watching a show, and the person it was a secular show of media. Not that great. But what I took from it was, I need to pray in any way I can. And so this character actually had an app on their phone to give them a place of silence, like 5-10 minutes. I don't know. I don't even know what happens during it, but the person was basically meditating. It's like, wow, like, that's possible. We need that. And I was thinking, you know, I could use that app, even though it's not necessarily to pray, it's meditate, but how they recognize the power of reflection,
silence.
Yeah. Whatever they're listening to, I don't know, but for us, it's God.
Sister Nancy, it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you.
Come back.
Thank you so much.
And Katie, great to have you on the show again. Heavenly Father, we praise you and worship you and glorify you, and we ask blessings upon all of our listening audience, to be filled with every spiritual blessing, to be filled with the graces that you have in store for them, to be filled with the Holy Spirit through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, the intercession of Our Lady of Guadalupe, in Jesus' holy name. And we bless you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God bless you all. We'll be with you next week at the same time. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You have been on Empowered by the Spirit.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange.
This is John Romero, Music Director at Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California. We are 1 year away from the dedication of our beautiful cathedral, and we have some spectacular concerts available to you. Check them all out at ChristCathedralMusic.org or on our Facebook page, Christ Cathedral Music. We'd love to see you here.
Christ Cathedral Concerts. Great music in a sacred place. For tickets, visit ChristCathedralMusic.org.